This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. About 80% of the people who write and illustrate children's books are white. Only 14% of those books have Black, Latino, or Asian, or Native American main characters. So a group of authors and teachers hope to change that. They've organized the Hey, Let's Read Festival in Atlanta, and it happens this Saturday. Joining us is Patrice McLaurin, author of Have You Thanked an Inventor Today? It's good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Casey Venning. She's the executive director for Helping Empower Youth and the Hey, Let's Read Book Festival. It's good to have you as well. I'm sure you're busy at this moment.
Yes.
So, Casey, how does a book festival help with what's essentially a problem at the publishers, is it not?
Yes, for sure. I think the book festival allows the kind of in-your-face awareness of the lack of diversity in publishing around authors of color, or even just books that feature main characters of color as a protagonist, the heroine, the hero, the main character. And I think when you're able to see those things kind of in your face, you're able to make the connection a little bit more. And it was kind of thrown at me when I was helping to plan a traditional book fair, you know, some of the bigger box names who come in and go all over the country. And they had a requirement that $2,500 had to be paid up front for certain schools within a zip code because they didn't normally make the amount of money that they wanted to see as a profit. And I thought that was entirely unfair to children who are already at a 30 million word deficit. We found that children of color hear 30 million words fewer than their white counterparts by the time they enter kindergarten. And so these are the students who need access to books the most, and they were being denied the chance because of their parents' economic stability or low economic status. And so that's where the idea came from, because I wanted people to see that, one, it's not a lot of books that ignite their imagination because they don't see themselves on the pages. And then there's not just enough books, period, to be made available to them for them to be able to pique their interest.
So, Patrice, your book focuses not just, not only are is it full of inventors who are inventors of color, who may have been left out of other curriculum in schools, but they're reading about people of color, but the kid that's the main character, and he's really adorable if you go and check this book, is also a young African-American boy.
Yes.
Why is it necessary for you to write this book? Did you not find this information anywhere for kids?
I mean, you can find the information that's in the book in different books for children. But what I wanted to do differently was I wanted to make the information relatable to children. So the way that I tried to apply the information in the book was I tried to apply in a way where they actually exercise these activities throughout their day. So if we're talking about the person who invented the pencil sharpener, well, children use pencil sharpeners at school all the time. They go into their refrigerators all of the time. They brush their hair all of the time. So I wanted them to be able to read the book. I wanted them to be able to see themselves in the book. And as far as the character, which, by the way, is an adaptation of a picture of my son. So I'm like really in love with him. You'll see him on my shirt.
She has it on her t-shirt.
But it was important to me that the character that they saw was an African-American little boy, because even in our literature, our little boys are underrepresented as far as the images that you see. So I wanted to be able to present something to them so when they saw it, they could gravitate towards it and be excited about it and say, hey, that looks like me.
So there's another step to this, Patrice, and that is that for whatever reason, when you have a book like this that has a main character that's African-American and they're talking about African-American issues, publishers then are going to market it only to children of color. How do you get over that?
Well, as a self-publisher, you know, I really, that's a question that actually kind of stumps me.
Well,
I really don't know.
Let me take that to you,
Casey. Yeah, I don't know how you get past that, but it's something that I feel like we should get past, because I think that it's information that can be beneficial to all children, not just children of color.
Yeah, this is self-published through digital arts, but you know as well as I do that oftentimes that doesn't make it into schools where it's primarily white kids.
Correct, and that requires a little bit of footwork in the sense that you have to then get in front of people. And sometimes you'll just call people on it. So either you want diversity because you say that it's a value and a characteristic that you want all children to develop and have, or you don't. And so here's an opportunity for you to be able to insert diversity into your curriculum, into your reading list, into your book list. And you really have to make people own up to whether or not they are believing what they say that is
important. What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
For instance, most school systems provide a list of suggested reading material for their students over the summer to combat what they call the summer slide, right? So we know that most kids are not as engaged during the summer, and they want to make sure that when they come back at the start of the school year, they haven't
vegetated for
yes,
3 months.
Basically. Yeah. When you look at that suggested reading list that comes from the school board or from the instructional curriculum office, probably about 30% of those books are of authors of color or even feature children of color. And so being able to even start there, where parents are going to trust their teachers and trust their schools and saying, this is a good list for my children to pick from, we have to make sure that we're providing them other options as well to be added to those types of lists. And then also for those who are self-publishing, there are ways to work with some of the you know, bigger publishing companies, so a Scholastic or a Random House or, you know, that type of thing. They have divisions. And so while they'll still market to a particular demographic, it now gets into kind of the queue and they're able to move it as the demand is met for that particular book, and it gets added and it gets placed inside the shelves and bookstores along with the other one. So it requires a little bit more work. It's not an automatic given. You have to make them see the necessity for it and then make
it's
them own
happening.
Up to their words. It's not.
It's not
and
happening.
I think most of it is because the work is hard and there's not enough people who are willing to go beyond just the self-publishing piece and now have the conversations with the larger publishing companies to make sure that their books are alongside the others in the bookstores.
Well, that brings us back to you, Patrice. you are planning another book, already writing?
I am planning another book. Not already writing. I am actually in the process of completing a character education, not curriculum, but a character education manual. But as far as another
What's
children's book.
What's a character education manual?
Well, it's a manual that I have comprised. And I'm a character education consultant by trade. That's one of the things that I do. So basically what this manual is going to be is 13 of what I think to be my most inspirational character education lessons. So basically, it's
you're
just
talking about the content of your character, not a character. In a book.
Yeah, not the character. I apologize. Yes, the content of your character, not the character in my book. So I am in the process of completing a character education manual. But as far as a second book is concerned, I have some things turning in my mind.
Do you feel the need because you're a writer of color, do you feel the need that you have to write about African Americans or people of color?
I do. I feel the need to have to write about people of color because I'm a person of color. And I feel that, as we were saying earlier, the diversity in children's books is lacking. So I feel that it's my responsibility if I, as a person of color, don't write about people of color or don't gear my information towards people of color, then who, you know?
How difficult is it, Casey, to put together a whole festival when there are so few published books?
Yeah. It's very hard. While there are a lot of self-published authors or even small publishing houses that are working with self-published authors, it's still very difficult to have a full diversity to provide 100 titles, you know, for families and parents and students and children who would come through. And it's a little disheartening as well, because we know that there's so many stories within each of us. And there's so many people who are not of color who get it, who have written stories that have at least featured characters of color, especially when we think about children's books and we think about the imagery and the pictures that come along with that. But getting them to understand the necessity of hitting the pavement and being available has been the biggest hurdle to cross. And so while the festival features
getting authors to understand PR
yes,
and marketing.
Yes, absolutely. Because really that's what books do. Right. And so when you think about those who are able to get contracts to and get advances, right, it's about the fact that publishing house knows that they can market that particular book and that author. And if you're not making yourself available, then it's hard for that publishing house to say, I'm going to take a chance on you, advance you $50,000, $100,000 for your time, basically, to get on the circuit, to go from bookstore to bookstore, city to city, to give talks, to give book signings, because it's really how they make their money. So if you're not out there, if we're not using the power of social media, our websites, and for those who really want to make a difference and see their books take off more so than just something they checked off, that I wanted to be an author and I wrote a book.
Maybe they can't get the time off of work.
They can't, but this is where you have to enlist a team. And so a lot of times, you know, maybe even going to a college and getting students who are PR and communication majors who are looking to build their portfolio that can go and do the legwork for you to get interviews, radio, television, to get interviews in front of publishing houses is definitely worth it.
How prepared were you, Patrice, for all of the other things that have to happen in a book after you're done writing? She's shaking her head.
So unprepared, Celeste, because I was not necessarily one of the people who just wanted to mark check off my list. I've written a book, but my goal for writing the book was really, it was almost self-centered, because what I wanted to do was I wanted to ignite some type of change in the community, even if it was a small one. I wanted to shift the trajectory of the imagery that we see with regards to our young men in the media.
Yeah.
So I figured, hey, I could write a book and have some lasting power. Never really considered myself an author. I really just wanted to do my part. I was motivated to do my part. And now that I've done it, everything that comes along with that, it's like it's a whole new world. But I'm excited about it.
That is children's author Patrice McLaurin. Her new book is called Have You Thanked an Inventor Today? And Casey Venning is executive director of the Hey Let's Read event, which is this Saturday in Atlanta. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.